How you doing, Dave? Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we're studying. Let me check. What are we studying today? Ooh, right. Oof. Okay. Oof. And then what happens? Interesting stuff. Is that what we got up to? Oh my. Big leagues. Big leagues. Oh my gosh, I don't even know. Okay. Wow. Oh my gosh, so much to do. Today we're studying Daf Dalet of Masechet Bava Metzia, friends. I don't really remember what it talks about. When did I review this? I can't even remember. Oh, maybe yesterday. I'm away this week, and I'm like trying to figure out how to fit in Babylon Talmud is not the easiest thing. So I'm trying to hop around, review now, learn this, record that. So, okay. But anyways, I think what we're talking about is Reb Chiya and then also Reb Sheshes. Halach. So give Halach. Interesting stuff. Okay. So let's jump in. Right. It's kind of weird because there aren't really good stopping points. Today we have a decent stopping point, I'd say, but we don't really have good stopping points around here. So we're like mamish in the middle of a sugya right now. And that sugya is, the Reb Chiya says that, what does Reb Chiya say? Oh, gevaldige sugya. So Reb Chiya says that if Shimon says to Reuven, you owe me $100. Reuven says, no, I don't. And then witnesses come and say, actually, what Reuven owes Shimon is $50. So Reb Chiya says that Reuven needs to swear that obviously he has to pay $50 because witnesses says he has to pay $50. He has to pay $50. With regard to the remaining $50, Reuven needs to swear that he doesn't owe them. It's be'etzim like a variant of modem b'miktsas. What's modem b'miktsas? Modem b'miktsas would be if Shimon says to Reuven, you owe me $100. Reuven says, I only owe you $50. So when Reuven says, I owe you $50, that's modem b'miktsas and he has to swear. This case is somewhat different. Well, is different in that Shimon says to Reuven, you owe me $100. Reuven says, I don't owe you any dollars. And it's the witnesses who are saying that in fact, Reuven owes $50, not $100. So Reb Chiya had said that Reuven needs to swear, so he obviously has to pay the $50, and he has to swear with regard to the remaining $50 that he doesn't owe anything. Now, Reb Chiya had said that Dafka, why does he have to swear? How do we know that he has to swear in this case? Well, it's a Kal V'Chomer. The question is, what's the Kal V'Chomer? We wanted to say yesterday that, well, it has to do with Piv, right? Meaning his own admittance, as opposed to the witnesses coming. Meaning, if by his own admittance, he has to pay, he has to swear. If by his own verbal admittance, he has to swear. When he says, I don't owe you 100, I owe you 50, he has to swear. So then certainly, when witnesses are coming and saying that you owe $50, he would have to swear there as well. So the Kal V'Chomer being that, well, if by Piv, he needs to swear, so then certainly by Adam he needs to swear. But we had some trouble there by saying that actually maybe you can argue that Piv is actually more stringent than Adam. So because we can't say therefore that it's coming, the Kal V'Chomer is Piv versus Adam, so now we are taking a different route, which is Ed Echod versus Shtei Adam. And with this begins today's treat. Every day is a treat, right? Every episode of Babylon Talmud is like the sweetest treat, right? Okay. Where are we? Okay. Gefaldig. Five lines from the bottom of Gimel. Okay, so the Kal V'Chomer comes from Eid Echor, from one witness. What about one witness? Ma'id echod she'ein mechayvo momin mechayvo shvue edim shemechayvin also momin ein odin shemechayvin also shvue. Chaver, let me tell you epis. It's 7:30 in the morning. I've already had, I think, 4 coffees. I could use another. I don't know those coffees. I don't know what they are. They might. I don't know why I should be on a coffee caffeine overload. Hakoponim, if an eid echod cannot be mechayev mamon, right? Of course, we know I'll be shnayim eidim. You need 2 witnesses. In Jewish law, 2 witnesses. Gold. 2 witnesses come and say something. We do what they say. 1 witness, we don't do what he says. You need 2. 1 is not enough. 1 can, however, be mechayev a shvuah. Right, so for example, if Shimon says to Reuven, you owe $100. You owe me $100. Reuven says, I don't owe you anything. Smidaraisa. Reuven doesn't need to swear. He doesn't owe the money. Kofer hakol. But witnesses come. Wait, what? But then 1 witness comes and says that actually Reuven does owe the $100, so he can't be mechayev Reuven $100. It's only 1 witness. You need 2. 2 witnesses obviously would be mechayev Reuven $100. 1 witness can't be mechayev Reuven to pay $100, but he can be mechayev Reuven to swear that he's telling the truth and that he doesn't owe Shimon anything. So ela asimi eid echot. So we're learning it out from the kavachomers from an eid echot. Uma eid echot she'ein mechayevo momen. An eid echod cannot be mechayev mamon, right? An eid echod comes and says that Reuven owes Shimon $100. We can't rely on him. It's only 1 witness. Mechayev o shvuah, but he could be mechayev o shvuah, that Reuven has to swear that he's telling the truth, that he doesn't owe Shimon anything. Eidim shemechayev and also mamon, witnesses who are able to be mechayev mamon, right? Witnesses come and say Reuven owes $100, or in this case, the witnesses are coming and saying that Reuven owes Shimon $50. So we can be mechayev mamon. Ein odin shemechayev and also shvuy. So certainly then they should be able to be mechayev a shvuy. Ma le'ed echod shekein amashu made hu nishba. Interesting. Very interesting. Toma be'edim shamashe kofar hu nishba. Ba ba ba. Bum, bum, bum. Ba-dum, bum. That's in my head now since the story of Rav Kahan and Rav Yochanan. Ba-dum, dum. Da-dum, dum. Anyways, boop-a-doo, just thinking for a second. Okay, so I think you could say this. That let's say in our scenario, Shimon says to Reuven, you owe me $100. Reuven says, I don't owe you anything. 1 witness comes and says, Reuven, you owe $50. So we can't be mechayev Reuven to pay $50. It's only an eid echad. But on that, you know, on that statement of the witness, which is Reuven owes Shimon $50, Reuven needs to swear, and he says, I don't owe $50. So it's punked about the thing that the Eid Echad is saying, that is what Reuven is swearing, you know, is denying b'shvuah. So the aid comes and says Reuven owes $50. Reuven swears he doesn't owe $50. So it's punked that thing that the aid echad is testifying about that Shimon is swearing to deny. No, that Reuven is swearing to deny. Masha'ein came, which is not the case by the witnesses. The witnesses come and say, 2 witnesses come and say, Reuven owes Shimon $50. So Reuven has to pay $50, of course. What does then Reuven swear about? Not that he doesn't owe $50, he pays the $50. The 2 witnesses says he has to pay $50, he pays $50. What they're swearing, what Reuven is swearing now about is with regard to what they didn't testify about. With regard to the remaining $50, he swears about that, that he holds to his word, to his claim, that he doesn't owe anything there. So the difference between an Eid Echod and Shnei Eidim in this regard is that the Shavua of an Eid Echod is punked about the thing that the Eid Echod is testifying about, whereas the Shavua with the two Eidim, he's davka swearing about what they didn't testify about. They testified that he owes $50, he pays $50, he then needs to swear that with regard to the remainder, he doesn't owe any of that. So therefore, you can't really compare the two, or even in a certain sense, I guess that makes an Eid Echod, I guess, arguably stronger than, more severe, I guess, than Shnei Eidim, because an Eid Echod, he has to swear about what the Eid Echod is talking about, whereas by the Shnei Eidim, he's swearing about something else. An Ander Ezach. Right, so Ma'ala Eid Echod, I'm going to read that again, Shekin Al-Mashi Hu Meid Hu Nishbo. By an Eid Echod, Davka Reuven is swearing about what the Eid Echod is testifying. The Eid Echod says, you owe $50. Reuven Shimon's, I don't know. What? Reuven Shimon's. I love that. Reuven swears that he doesn't owe $50. Oh my gosh, Chever, if I started saying Shimon instead of swear, Chever, you would have no clue what I'm talking about. No clue. Reuven Shimon's to Shimon. Oh my God, Chever. Babylon Talmud would be impossible. It would be worse than Plop and Ploop. Reuven Shimon's to Shimon. Chever. Forget about new people. New people would be, it's a non-starter. I think even my friends at Babylon Talmud would have no clue what I'm talking about. And it's not your fault. It makes no sense. Malayir Echad. Shakena Mashu Meir Unishba. Oh God, I'm getting nervous because we're only getting up to today's daf now. These dafs are huge. Okay. Mashu Meiru Nishbo. By an Eid Echod, Take Reuven is Davke Shimoning. No, I'm kidding. Reuven is Davke swearing about that which the Eid Echod is testifying about. Tomar Be'edim. Can you compare that to witnesses which are less significant in that Sha'alma Shekofar Hu Nishba? That Reuven is now swearing not about what the witnesses testified about. No. He's testifying about the remainder that he's now denying, that, and he's saying that he's telling the truth. Rather, says a puppet, Osimi Gilgul Shvue. Okay. Comes from a Gilgul Shvue de Eid Echod. A Gilgul Shvue de Eid Echod. Aha. Wow. Okay, a Gilgul Shvue. Who can tell me what a Gilgul Shavu is? A Gilgul Shavu is that if already, I think it's like, it's come up in the past before. I think I maybe tried to argue that it's, I think there's a concept called a secondary offense, right? Like certain things that you can't get pulled over or stopped or arrested because of them. But if already you're getting, you know, stopped for something that you can get stopped for, then they could have a look and say, ah, you also have this, that's a problem. So a Gilgul Shavu is that if there's something that alone, that on its own, would not be Mechayev Shvua, but once already, you have to swear, so then you could swear about that too. So by an Eid Echod, if an Eid Echod is Mechayev Shvua, and then once already he's swearing about the thing that the Eid Echod is Mechayev Shvua, he then also ends up swearing about some other thing which otherwise he wouldn't have had to swear about. So here, you have an Eid Echod who's being Mechayev a Shvua on something different, right? We had said that the difference between an Eid Echod and two witnesses is that by the Eid Echod, Reuven is swearing about what the Eid Echod is talking about, is claiming. Whereas by two witnesses, Reuven is definitely swearing about what they're not claiming. But if you say, not that we learn out the Kavachomer from the fact that an Eid Echod is Mechayev a Shvua, but from the fact that an Eid Echod is Mechayev a Gilgul Shvua, that once an Eid Echod is Mechayev one Shvua, he can then, right, then once he's already swearing for that, there could then be a secondary shvua which he's not testifying about. So we could therefore say that that would be comparable to the shvua of the two witnesses, which is he's swear they're causing him not to swear about that which they didn't testify about. So therefore, we can have the kav chomer that if an eid echad who is unable to be mechayev mamon can be mechayev a gilgul shvur, so then these two witnesses who can be mechayev mamon, certainly they should be able to be mechayev shvur as well. So again, so el amar a papa, rather says a papa asim gilgul shvur the eid echad. The kav chomer comes from the fact that an eid echad can be mechayev a gilgul shvur, but ma the gilgul shvur. Deir echod shekein shvur gerer shvur. But gosh, my lips have been like all weird. Mal gilgul shvur deir echod shekein shvur gerer shvur. But one second, when it comes to gilgul shvur of an eir echod, it's the shvur that's mechayiv the shvur. Tome be'edim de momen ko mechayve. That by the eid echod, the daf could be mechayev momin, and once he's mechayev momin, then you have to make a shvua on the rest. Meaning, I don't know if I just said eid echod, but shnei eidim, whatever. By an eid echod, the way that gilgul shvua works is that once already he's has to swear about one thing, so it's the fact that he's swearing on this that causes him then to swear about the other thing. So, by gilgul shvua, it's the shvua that's being mechayev. The first shvua is mechayev the second shvua, as opposed to two witnesses, they're not being mechayiv him a shvur, they're being mechayiv him to pay. And once he has to pay for the 50, we're then saying he's going to swear about the remaining money. So it's a different thing, right? The gilgul shvur, it's the shvur that's being mechayiv the second shvur, whereas by the two witnesses, it's the payment that then is being mechayiv him to have to swear about the rest of it. So again, so mal gilgul shvur de'ed echod, shekin shvur gerer shvur, that the first shvur is the mechayev the second shvur. Tomer be'edim, can you compare that to witnesses? The moment ko mechayev, that they're being mechayev him moment, and then once he is paying the and then he then would have to just pay swear that the remaining money he doesn't owe, but it's not a shvur that's being mechayev him a shvur. Okay, so piv yochiach. Okay, fine. So if we can't learn it out from eid echod versus shtei eidim, so let's go back to saying that the kal vachomer is like we had said yesterday, piv, that if by his own saying he's mechayev a shvur by modeh b'miktzas, so certainly by witnesses there will be a shvur malefiv. But one second, the problem with piv shekein eino b'hakchosho, we said yesterday that piv, if he admits that he owes money, even if other witnesses come and say that he doesn't owe the money, it's too late. Hodas baldin kimei eidim domi. That if one of the litigants admits something, so that's as good as if 100 witnesses testified about it, i.e. we go with it. So we said that, you can't learn out the kal vachomer from piv, because piv is actually more stringent to the extent that there's no din of hakchosha by piv. Eid echad yochech, okay. So let's learn out from eid echad sheyeshno b'hakchosha, that eid echad also has hakchosha u'mechayv u'shvur, and it can be mechayv u'shvur. Ma'le eid echad sheken amashe me'id hu nishba. Yeah, but we said you can't learn out from eid echad, because eid echad, Reuven is swearing punct about what the eid echad testified about. Tomar be'edim, you can't say that by edim she'alma she'kofar hu nishba. He's dafka swearing about not what the witnesses testified, but about what he's denying. Meaning they testify he owes $50, he pays $50, but then he swears about the remainder. So piv yochiach, okay, it's fine. So if we can't learn it out from an eid echad, so let's learn it out from piv. V'chazur adin. Okay, but we said you can't learn out from piv. So lo rizeh kirizeh, lo rizeh kirizeh. Okay, fine. So if you try to learn out from piv, it's got its problems. If you try to learn out from eid echod, it's got its problems. But hatzad ha'shava sheboin, the common denominator is sha'yidei taino v'chvir e'boin, that there is a claim, there is a denial, and there is a shvur v'nishba afani ovi edim. So also I'll say that just like by piv and just like by eid echod, also by two edim, sha'ayidei taine uchvire heim boim, that they are making a claim, and he is making a denial, v'nishba, and he will have to swear. But ma, la tzad ha'shoveh sheboim. Yeah, but there's a problem with the tzad ha'shoveh. Shekein lo huchzok kafun. Both by an eid echod, and by a hodas piv, he hasn't been determined to be a liar, essentially, right? Meaning when two witnesses, okay, when Shimon says to Reuven, you owe $100, Reuven says, no, I don't. Witnesses come and say, you owe $50. So witnesses came and said he owes $50. He said he doesn't owe anything. He's a liar. So by two witnesses, Reuven would not be considered a liar. Now, by an eid echad, we don't assume that he's a liar. It's only an eid echad. We don't trust one witness. He's enough to be mechayev Reuven a shvua, but we presume innocence. Additionally, when Shimon says that Reuven owes $100 and Reuven says he owes 50, so we say he has to swear. It's not because we assume that he's a liar. We have no reason to assume that. So by eid echad and by piv, we don't assume that Reuven is a liar. But by two witnesses, we know that Reuven is a liar. Tomar be'edim shekin huchzok kafrin. How can you say by witnesses where we know he's a liar? Uve'edim mihuchzok kafrin. But by witnesses, is he really considered a liar? Va'amr v'idi bar oven. Amr v'chizda ha'kofir b'milve kosher le'edos b'pikod m'posel le'edos. That says of Idi by Oven, Omer Chizda, that somebody who denies a loan is actually kosher le'edus. Is actually kosher le'edus. That if Shimon says to Reuven, Reuven, you owe me $100. Reuven says, no, I don't. Witnesses come and says, yes, you do. So he's kosher le'edus. Why is he kosher le'edus? Because mil velo tzor nitna. Because the assumption is that, you know, when Shimon lent $100 to Reuven, he lent it to Reuven to spend it. Like that, that's just, right? We've seen this before. Milva lo tzor nitno. It's meant to be spent. I.e., the assumption is that Reuven is not going to have it. At least at some point. He's obviously going to have to pay it back. But the assumption is that he's not going to have it the whole time. And therefore, it could be that he's rationalizing it to say, look, you know, I just want to buy more time till I can get it back. Meaning, obviously the assumption is that I spent it, that I don't have it. The point is I need to get it back. I'm just trying to buy more time to get it back. We don't assume that he's necessarily a liar. We just assume that, you know, he's trying to rationalize it to himself, you know, until he gets it back. Which would not be the case by a pikadon, a deposit. A deposit he has no business touching. Right? If Shimon gives something to Reuven to watch, so Reuven has to watch it. He can't do anything else with it. And therefore, if Shimon says to Reuven, I want it back, and he says, I don't know what you're talking about. Or Shimon says to Reuven, I want it back, and he says, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean you don't know what you're talking about? Where is it? So therefore, why are we saying that if witnesses come, we assume that Reuven is a liar? We know that if witnesses come and testify that Reuven, in fact, owes money, he could still be a witness. So clearly he's not a liar. Right, so again, Umi huchzok, right? Uve'edim huchzok kafran. Even with witnesses, is Reuven really considered a liar? V'amr v'idi bar'oven, amr v'chizak ofer b'milve, kosher le'edus. A person who denies a loan is still kosher le'edus. V'pikodin posel le'edus, but by deposit you'd be posel le'edus. El prechochi, rather ask like this. Malatzad ha'shove sheboin, shekein einon b'toras hazome. The idea, but the tzad ha'shove is that neither mode b'miktsas nor an eid echod. There, right, in neither case, is there a din hazama. There's only a din, right? There's no din hazama, right? If an eid echod comes and says that Reuven owes, you know, $100, and it turns out that he's an eid zomim, he won't have to pay the $100. The concept of asisim lo kasher zomim Lasos lochiv only applies to two witnesses, not to one witness. And obviously also by, you know, modem mixas, there's no edim zomim. So both eid echod and piv are immune, are you know not shaykh to hazama. Masha enkein by edim zomim that by edim that they can become edim zomim. Toma by edim sheyeshna b'toras hazama halo kasha. Well, that isn't really a question because Reb Chiya toras hazama lo parich. Because Reb Chiya doesn't really view it that way. Right? Meaning, we're saying that there's no din hazama by an eid echod because there's no vasisim lo kasha zoma. That might be true. But there is still the concept of if witnesses come and say, Iman, right, that you were with us somewhere else, we're still going to disqualify his testimony. Fine, maybe we might not do Vasisim lo kasher zomim. We might not make him pay what he was trying to make the other guy pay. Okay, that could be. But we're still going to discard his testimony. So Reb Chiya would consider that to be that there is Toras Hazama by an Eid Echod. So therefore, that to throw out the Tzad HaShoveh, to say that, well, by Piv and by Eid Echod, there's a Shvuah. So therefore, also by Eidim, there's a Shvuah. That seems to be valid. Okay, fine. Okay, so now the Gemara kind of moves on to the next part. El dukamer v'tane tune. Okay, so after Reb Chiya had made his statement, he had said that we bring a proof from our Mishnah, right? Support from our Mishnah. That Reb Chiya had said, if Shimon says to Reuven, you owe me $100. Reuven says, I don't owe you anything. Witnesses come and say that Reuven owes $50. So we say that Reuven then has to swear. He has to obviously pay Shimon $50, and he has to swear with regard to the remaining 50 that he doesn't owe it. And we said that we have a support from our Mishnah, Shnei Moichsim Metalis, that Reuven and Shimon are both going after the same talis. Be'etzim Shimon is saying, Reuven, it's all mine. Reuven is saying, it's not. We're basically testifying for Reuven and saying, yes, 50% of it. 50, or half of it does belong to, we're testifying for Shimon and saying 50% of it belongs to Shimon. And we're saying that there's a Shvuah. So we want to say from our Mishnah that, you know, Shimon says one thing, Reuven denies it. We testify about 50%, there's a Shvuah. Okay. So V'tane Tune, so where am I? Elik, the Kamer V'tane Tune, when it says V'tane Tune, where am I? Okay, el dekamer v'tane tune mi dami, but is our Mishnah in fact similar to the case of Shimon and Reuven and the witnesses and the $50? Hosum l'malve isle saide l'love leisle saide. In that case, with Shimon and Reuven, with the money, $50, the witnesses, Shimon has witnesses that are saying that he's owed money. The lo veleis le saide, Reuven has no witnesses to say that he doesn't owe the money. Okay, I think you can apparently skip these next few words till the end of the line. De'i havu le saide le love, that if Reuven did have witnesses, de lo masik, okay, okay. Let's just read it with these words, why not? Right, let's back up. Le ma veis le saide, that Shimon has witnesses, the lo veleis le saide, Reuven, the borrower, doesn't have any witnesses, the lo masik le velomide, to testify that he does not owe anything. Maybe they get rid of it, because what does it mean to have witnesses that testify that he doesn't owe it? I don't know. Di havu le saide, le lo ve lo masik le velomide, because if Reuven did have witnesses to support his claim, lo boi Reb Chiya le ishtabue, then Reb Chiya would not have required Reuven to swear. Right, meaning Shimon says to Reuven, you owe me $100. Reuven says, I don't. Witnesses now come and say that Reuven owes $50. So now Reuven has to swear. But if Reuven would have brought his own witnesses, then he wouldn't have had to swear. But hacha, in our case, kihechi do aninsaide lahai, aninsaide lahai. In our case of Shnayim Oichsim Metalis, Shimon is saying it's all mine. Reuven is saying, no, it's not. It's all mine. We are then coming to testify for them that 50% of it is Shimon's and 50% of it is Reuven's. So in this case, they both have, I guess we, the halacha, I guess, is working as their witnesses to testify that there's validity to their claim. So if that's the case, then I would think that Reb Chiya should say in this case that there shouldn't be a Shavuot, or, you know, the fact that there is a Shavuot that certainly does not support Reb Chiya's claim, where if Reuven would have had witnesses that he doesn't owe any money, he wouldn't have had to swear. Right, so, and even though they both, by Shnei Moichs and Betalos, both Shimon and Reuven have witnesses, still they have to swear. Elaki itmar vitanetune a idoch de Reb Chiya itmar. Okay, this gets into the sugya of Halach, opening up a brand new sugya, a brand new statement of Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya had sort of made a splash yesterday with his statement of Shimon and Reuven and the $50 and the witnesses. Now he's going to make another splash. The Omer Reb Chiya says, Reb Chiya, Monali beyotcho. Shimon says to Reuven, Reuven, you owe me $100. Behala Omer, you know what Reuven says? Ein lecho biyodele nun zuz. Okay, I only owe you $50. Okay, sounds like mode b'miktsas. Veheilach. And here, they're yours. Take them. They're yours, take them. Chayv. So Reuven needs to swear. My time, how come heilach nami kemode b'miktsas atayin adami? Because heilach is be'etzem mode b'miktsas. So, okay, I mean, okay, this is actually the, so this is the, I guess it would seem to us over here right now, like this is actually no big chidushim over here, right? Meaning, Shimon says to Reuven, Reuven, you owe me $100. Reuven says, I don't owe you $100, I owe you $50, here you go. And we're saying that Reuven needs to swear, it's mode b'miktsas. Shimon said, you owe me $100, Reuven says it's $50, he has to swear, mode b'miktsas. Okay. The fact that he says, here, take him, makes no difference. So again, my time, how come heilach nami kemode b'miktsas atayin adami? Because heilach is be'etzim no different than mode b'miktsas, and he has to swear. V'tanetune, and we have a support from our Mishneh, shneim oichzim b'talas, you have Reuven and Shimon who are vying over this talas. V'ahocho kevon detofis, the Ahocha Kevin the Tophis, that since he's holding onto it on inside to my the Tophis Heilach Hu, that what he's holding is Be'etzim, he's saying, here, take it, V'katoni Yishova. And we're saying he has to swear, meaning Shimon is saying, you know, to Reuven, Reuven, this Talis is mine. Reuven is saying that it's mine. And I guess Be'etzim what he's saying is, I guess at least 50% of it is mine. And I guess Be'etzim what he's therefore saying is 50% of it is yours. Take it. You know, because it's, you know, because Shimon's, I guess, I don't know, am I understanding this right? Maybe yes, maybe no. But I guess Shimon is saying that it's all mine. Reuven, I guess, maybe is saying 50% of it is yours and take it, because maybe, I guess, since Shimon already is holding it, Reuven is Be'etzim saying, Shimon, take it. And we're saying still, Reuven would need to swear that the other half belongs to him. So we see that by mode b'miktsas, even if he says heilach, it makes no difference and you're still going to have to swear. I don't know, maybe I understood that correctly. Maybe I didn't. Rav Sheshes Omar, now here's the bigger chiddush. Here's the bigger chiddush. Rav Sheshes Omar says, Rav Sheshes, heilach potter. That heilach is poshit potter. In my time, how come came to Omar le heilach, then once he says, here, it's yours, hane zuze de kamodi bigavayu kiman denokit lu mal vedomi. So the money that he's admitting, it's like the lender has it, but ina chamishim holo modi hilkach leko hodoas miktsas ha'tayne. I know that probably was not understandable. I will explain it now. Rav Shesha says that Shimon says to Reuven, Reuven, you owe me $100. Reuven says, No, I don't. I owe you $50. Here, take them. So it says of Sheshes that when Reuven says, here, take them, so then it's treated like Shimon has this money, has these $50. Okay, so what's remaining? Another $50. Now, with regard to these $50, Reuven denies all of it. Kofer HaKol, he's denying all of it. And by Kofer HaKol, when you deny all of it, there's no shvuah, there's no swear. So therefore, Rav Sheshes says that by Halach, there's no shvuah. So meaning, without Halach, so if Shimon says to Reuven, you owe me $100, Reuven says, no, I don't, I only owe you $50. So that's Moda B'Mitzas, and you would have to swear, right? Shimon saying 100, Reuven saying it's half that amount, he has to swear. What's different about this case is that Shimon is saying to Reuven, you owe me $100. Reuven is saying, actually, it's 50, here, take it. So now it says, though, Shimon has this $50, right? The lender has the $50. What's remaining now in the claim is only the other $50, of which Reuven is denying all of it. So that's Kofer HaKol. When it comes to Kofer HaKol, there's no Shvu at all. And therefore, Rav Sheshes argues that by Halach, Reuven is potter from a Shavuot. You hear that? Again, Rav Sheshes, someone says, Rav Sheshes, Halach potter. That by Halach, Reuven is taket potter. My time, how come? Came to Omerle, Halach hanezuze, Halach, that once Reuven says to Shimon, Halach, take it, hanezuze dekamode bigavayu kiman denokit luhu malve domi. So, the $50 that Reuven is admitting, and he's saying here, Shimon, it's yours, it's as though Shimon has them and is holding them, and therefore, be'inoch hamishim, with regard to the remaining 50, halo modi, Reuven is not admitting anything, he's denying all of it. And kofer hakol is potter from a shvur. Hilkach leko doas miktsas satayna, therefore, you no longer have modi b'miktsas, rather, what you in practice have right now is kofer hakol, and there's no shvuah. Ul Rav Sheshes kasher masnisin, but according to Rav Sheshes, what about our Mishnah? We wanted to say that our Mishnah would be an indication that by Halach there is a shvuah. Omelech Rav Sheshes would reply, masnisin takonas chachomim hi. Our Mishnah is only a takonas chachomim, that he would have to swear. It's not me'ikr hadin. Ve'idoch, and Rav Chiya would say, in takonas chachomim hi, sure, it is a takonas chachomim. But umiyu, yomet bishlomim midoraisa, heila chayiv, mitakni rabon and shvua, kein doraisa. Rav Chiya would argue, look, if you say that heilach is chayiv v'shvua, so then in the case of Shnayim Oichzim Betalis, the rabbonon are enacting a shvua based on the Shvu Doraisa. That if by Halach you chayv a Shvu, so then they also say that in the case of Shnayim Oichzim Betalis, there would be a Shvu just like by Halach there's a Shvu. Eli Omit Midoraisa, Halach Potter, Metakni Rabbonin Shvu, Delesa de Kavos Midoraisa. But if Midoraisa, Halach is Potter from a Shvu, Halach is Potter from a Shvu, so then why would the Chachomim enact a shvuah by Shnayim Oichzim Betalis based on what? Based on nothing. Meisve, we have a kasha. I think, Chevra, we're just going to ask two kashas. I don't remember if this one is on Rav Sheshes or on Rav Chiya. I can't remember. I think this one might be on Rav Sheshes, and then we're going to ask the kasha on Rav Chiya. Maybe it's vice versa. I can't remember. And then we're going to call it for the day. So I don't know how much longer this is going to take. Meisve, we have a kasha. Sloyim dinarin malva omer chomesh vilove omer sholish. Reb Shimon ben Elozer omer hol v'hode miktsas atani yishova v'akiva omer eno elo kemeshiv aveda ufater. Very interesting. Shimon has a document that says that Reuven owes him sloim or dinarin. Let's just go with sloim, because it's easier to work with one thing than two things. Shimon has a document that says that Reuven owes him sloim, coins. Doesn't say how many coins. Just that Reuven owes him coins. Haha, great. As you can imagine, things get messy. Sloim dinarin malva omer chomish. Shimon says, oh yeah, five sellers. Velove omer sholish. Whereas Reuven says, what are you talking about? It's not five, three. Reb Shimon ben Elazar omer hol v'hol de miktzas atani yishova. Reb Shimon ben Elazar says, look, this is mode de miktzas. Shimon saying five, Reuven saying three. It's mode de miktzas yishova. Reuven needs to swear. Reb Akiva omer says, Reb Akiva eino elo kimeshiv aveda ufater. Reb Akiva says, no, we only treat this like hashavas aveda, and therefore Reuven is potter from swearing. And I believe that this is because here's the thing. Here is the thing. Me'ikra adin, the minimum of slaim, the minimum of plural coins, is two. So therefore, me'ikra adin, Shimon has a document that says that Reuven owes him coins. Minimum coins is two. So me'ikra adin, the document, can only be used to collect two. When Reuven says, well, actually, I owe Shimon three, if I understand correctly, he's like, he's doing more than he really needs to. All the document is saying is two, and he's saying three. So he's going kind of above and beyond. So we treat it like Meshiv Aveda, like he's returning a lost item to, Shimon, and he doesn't need to, swear about it. Okay, fine. Katone Mihas, but what's important for our context, is Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer says Reb Shimon ben Elazar hoil v'hoda miktzas atayne yishova. Reb Shimon ben Elazar says that Reuven needs to swear because it's mode b'miktzas. Reuven needs to swear because it's mode b'miktzas. Shimon had claimed that he sold five sellers. Let's call it dollars. Shimon had claimed that he sold $5. Reuven, no, let's go with sellers. Reuven says only three sellers. Reb Shimon ben Elazar says that is mode b'miktzas, and Reuven needs to swear. But we're saying it's dafka mode b'miktzas because Reuven is saying it's three. What if Reuven would have stuck to the basic amount, which is two? Right? Katanimias, Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer hol v'hode miktzas satani yishov. Since Reuven was mode b'miktzas, he needs to swear. Time to Omar Sholish. The reason why he needs to swear, why we consider it to be Modem Mixas, is because Reuven admitted to three out of five. Hoshtayim. But if he would have only admitted to two, which is Be'etzim, what's written in the document, it says Selas, plural. Sloim, plural, which is two at a baseline. Tamar Sholish, Hoshtayim, Potter. But if it were only two, if Reuven would have only admitted to two, he'd be Potter. Vaishtar, Kimodi, Be'. Heilach hu, v'hai shtar dekamodi be heilach hu. Now this document, when Reuven is saying, yeah, of course, here's this document. Essentially, what he's saying is that, yeah, there's that document, and you know, here's the money, right? Or I think Rashi says that because the document is basically a shibud karkos. So essentially, what he's saying is, yeah, there's that document, and the property, wherever it is, belongs to you, or at least he's gonna, you know, he's committing to the two sellers. So he's basically saying, yes, I owe the money, here it is. And Reb Shimon ben Elazar would say that in that case, Reuven would be potter from Shavua. He's only chayav for Shavua because he's saying that it's three. Meaning, okay, if he would say that it's two, which is what the document says, and he's basically saying, yeah, so Shimon is saying, you owe me five. Reuven is saying, no. The document only says two, and here it's yours. And we're saying that he's potter from a shvu'i. So we see that when he's mode b'miktzas, and then he says heilach, and then he's basically denying the remainder, so he's potter from a shvu'i. But when he says three, however, so then he's basically saying heilach on the document, right? So the document is saying that he owes two. And he's saying, sure, okay, I owe two. But then of the remaining three, he's saying, I only owe you one of those remaining three, which is essentially modeh b'miktzas, and therefore he's chayav a shvu'. But if it would have been two, then it would have been Halach and he would be Potter. So Vishmamina Halach Potter. So we see that that Halach is Potter, like Rav Sheshes, and it's a Kasha and Rav Chia. So lo, the Olam Emeloch, Shtayim, Nami Chayv. No, really, I will say to you that even if, meaning Rav Chia can argue that if he would have admitted to two, he would also be Chayev in terms of, he would be Chayev, because Halach is Chayev, right? Halach is not Potter. So if he would have said two, he would have, right? So Reb Shimon ben Elazar would say that just like when he admits to three, he's Chayev Shavua. So also if he would have admitted to two, he would be Chayev Shavua, because Halach is Chayev Shavua. V'hai de katoni sholish, the reason why we dafka mention 3 out of 5 and not 2 out of 5 is lafukim midu Rabbi Akiva damer meshiv avedu hu ufoter, is to teach us about Rabbi Akiva that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar argues with Rabbi Akiva, because if it was right, so Rabbi Akiva says that when it's 3, then he's kimeshiv avedu and he's potter. But if it would have been 2, so then Rabbi Akiva would have agreed with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar that it would be chayiv. So there's no chiddush there, right? So if Shimon would say 5 and Reuven would say 2, so Reb Shimon Elazar and Reb Akiva would agree that Reuven would be Chayev Shavua. But because he says 3, now it's machlokas between Reb Akiva, who says that he's potter because it's Kameshiv Aveda, and Reb Shimon Elazar, who says that it's Modav Mikzas and he's Chayev. So Reb Akiva says potter, and Reb Shimon Elazar says Chayev. So we could say that Halach is Chayev, and even if Reuven would admit it to 2, he would have still be Chayev. The only reason why the machlokas is expressed when it comes to when Reuven admits to 3 is in order to bring out the machlokas between Reb Shimon ben Elazar and Rab Akiva, kamashlon demode miktsas hataine have v'chayev, that Reb Shimon ben Elazar argues with Rab Akiva and says that even when he says 3, it would be considered mode miktsas and he would be chayev ioch. If that's the case, Reb Shimon ben Elazar omer hol v'hode miktsas hataine yishova. But that doesn't really fit into the language of the Braisa that good, because the Braisa says that Reb Shimon Elazar says that when Reuven admits to 3 out of 5, so Reb Shimon Elazar says, since he was modeb miktsas atayno yishova, that's why he has to swear, implying, well, af ze yishova mibarle, if what we're saying is correct, that Reb Shimon Elazar would say that even if Reuven would admit to 2, he'd be chayev shvuah, then what it should say is that even when he admits to 3, he's still chayev shvuah because it's considered modeh miktsas. It's not like Rabbi Akiva says that it would be hashava kemeshiv aveda. So it shouldn't just be that when Reuven admits to 3, he is chayev shvuah because that's modeh miktsas. We should say that when he's chayev, that even when he's admits to 3, he is chayev a shvuah, because even that would be considered modeh miktsas. So Elul Olam Shtayim Potter. Okay, really, if Reuven would admit it to 2, would have admitted to 2, he would be Potter. But the reason why it'd be Potter is not because Halach is Potter. Halach Chayev. Halach is Chayev. The reason why he would be Potter here is Vishaini Hocha. It's different over here to Komisayeo Le Shtor. Because at the end of the day, you have a document that is saying that Reuven only owes 2, right? Meaning, Shimon is saying, Reuven owes me 5 sellers. Reuven is saying, look, I have a document that says sellers, plural, minimum sellers is 2, all I owe is 2. It's nothing to do with Halach, it has to do with the fact that the document seems to be supporting Reuven's version. Inami, alternatively, Mishum Dehavali Shtar Shibud Kaikos. Alternatively, it's because a document is Be'etzim, a document that's saying that if right, that Reuven needs to pay Shimon, and if not, Shimon can take property. So it's basically a representation of property, and you don't swear about property. You swear about metalton, you don't swear about property, and that is why there is no Shavuot, but that is no indication on Halach. Reb Chiya would still argue that Halach is Chayev Shavuot. Now, Ika, the most of Misefa, those who have so we kind of flip it around, they ask the Kasha from Rabbi Akiva on the Seifa, which would be a Kasha on Rav Sheshes. Ika, the most of Misefa, Rabbi Akiva, Omer says, Rabbi Akiva, Eino Elo, Kemeshiv, Aveda, Ufoter, that when Shimon says, that Reuven owes him 5 sellers. Reuven says, I only owe you 3 sellers. So Rabbi Akiva says that Reuven is potter from Shavua because he's Kemeshiv Aveda. Time of the Amr Shalosh. So he's only potter because he says, I only owe you 3. Hashtayim, Chayiv. But if he would have said that I owe you 2, so it would be Chayiv. V'ha shtar dekamodi bei kehelach domi. Now when Reuven admits to the document, so he's be'etzim saying, helach, here's, right, yes, I owe you 2, take them, and Rabbi Kiva will be saying that you're chayiv, so we see that helach is chayiv shvur. So shmamina helach chayiv, which is a kashan of sheishas. Lo, the olam, emelach, shtayim nami potter. No, I'll say that really, Rabbi Kiva would say that if Reuven admitted to 2, he would also be potter. By the Katani Shalosh, the only reason why he mentions why the Brisa mentions 3 is Lafukin Rav Shim ben Elazar, in order to highlight the dispute between Rav Akiva and Rav Shim ben Elazar, the Omar who says that when it comes to 3, Moda Miksa Satayna Have Bechayev, it would be considered Moda Miksa Satayna Bechayev, Komash Malon, and therefore the Brisa says talks about 3, where that Rav Akiva says Demeshiv Aveda Have Ufater, that he would be like returning a lost object, and he would be Potter by 3 as well. And this also taka makes sense. The advantage of mine to say that by 2 you would be chayev. Bishalish echi potter le Rabbi Akiva. If when Reuven it says that it's 2, he would be chayev. Then how could Ashvur? Then how could Rabbi Akiva say that when Reuven says that he only owes that he owes 3 rather than 5, he would be potter? If that's the case, then it gives an opportunity for Reuven to be a trickster. Look, if I say that I only owe 2, then I'll have to swear. So instead I'll say 3. Then I'll be like I'm returning a lost object, V'i Potter, and then I'll be Potter. Rather, it would make sense to say that Akiva says not only by when he admits to 3 is he potter, but also when he admits to 2, he is potter. Elakasha l'Reb Chiya. Okay, so this sounds like it is a kasha on Reb Chiya, because we're saying that heilach is potter. Shaini hosom dekomisaleh le'ishtar. No, you could say that heilach is chayev. The only reason why he's potter when he admits to 2 is because the document seems to be supporting him. The document seems to be saying that he only owes 2. Inami, alternatively, yishim dehavale shtar shibud kakos. Benish b'nal kfir shibud kakos. Alternatively, because the document is be'etzim testifying about a shibud kakos, and you don't swear about kakos. That's why when he admits to what the document says, he's potter from shibud chevur. We're gonna hold it over here. Another long and difficult daf, but very, very interesting stuff on the daf. We got into the sugya of heilach, the machlokas between Reb Chiya, who says that heilach is chayev, and Reb Sheshes, who says that heilach is potter. Very interesting stuff. Peace out.